We come together in love and faithfulness and in the Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. God is good, and all the time. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ this morning. And if you're a visitor with us, we encourage you to take the time to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. Today is a very special day, and we're glad you could be here and be a part of this Sunday where we ordain two new members of the deacon ministry team. It's exciting that we have seen year after year someone or someone's coming to be ordained for the first time into that ministry. And that's exciting because it tells us we are not just recycling the same folks over and over again year after year, but that God is calling new generations of servants. And so today, let us celebrate that with the fullness of our heart and say a hearty amen. And at the risk of being a little Pentecostal, even say hallelujah. Praise God for the ministry of deacon and for those new deacons who are willing and foolish enough to come forward and sit in these chairs and have hands laid upon them in ministry. Would you allow that to guide your heart in worship today?
Before we turn to our opening scripture reading this morning, I do want to remind our congregation that there are no Sunday night activities tonight. However, starting next week, on September 9th, we'll be getting back to our fall Sunday night schedule. It begins next Sunday, Sunday night at 5 p.m. with a fellowship meal, followed by activities for our children, activities for our youth, activities, study for our adults, starting at 5:30. There is opportunities for every age to participate starting next Sunday night. So go ahead and mark it off your calendar, September 9th, 5 o'clock, fellowship meal at First Baptist Elon. There's more details in your newsletter that you can pick up on the table as you leave today. There's also additional details on the back of the bulletin this morning. So next Sunday night, we start our Sunday night ministries. Now, may we turn our attention to our opening scripture reading from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, a passage that is very, very fitting for this day of celebration. Now, during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. As we reflect on those words of calling, so many years ago, and that same word of calling today, on this day of deacon ordination, may we be reminded that we also are called. We have been called to be here this day. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, you have called each one of us to gather in your house this morning. Father, we come into this house not knowing what you are going to do in our lives, but we know we will not leave the same as we have arrived. We will be changed. I lift up Chip and I lift up Suzanne to you this morning. They have heard your call. They have answered the call. And in just a few minutes, they will have the community of faith, just as happened hundreds of years ago, the same way today as people come and lay hands on them and lift them up in prayer. Father, we know that you are moving in our midst, and we know that you are going to move us in a way that draws us closer to you. May our words of prayer, may our words of scripture, may our songs that we sing be pleasing, letting you know we're ready, Father. We're ready to be changed. We are the called. Father, we lift this prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join us singing our hymn of praise, "Here I Am to Worship."
King of all.
Today is a Sunday to ordain deacons, but we have another ministry that on this day we also want to acknowledge and not ordain, but commission them to the work that we have called them to do. You'll see on your bulletin the list of the names of the members of the vision and leadership team. This team serves essentially as the directors of the church, but also, more importantly, they are to provide long-term and short-term immediate leadership and vision to help form ideas and help teams work through problems and work through their own ideas and motions before they bring them to the round table for discussion. They're there as a resource for those teams to help think the big thoughts of the church and to dream for the future of the congregation. They're there to think about the day-to-day operations of the church and to make sure that things function and move forward. And the way that team is formulated began about 6 years ago when the congregation invited, I think it was Tom Stocks, to come and talk about deacon ministry. And through that, you began to look at the biblical model of deacon and saw that the deacons in the Bible were not administrators as much as they were servants, spiritual leaders, and caretakers of the people, and not the tasks of the church. And that led you to form this team, the vision and leadership team, for that function. As you'll see that each of the administrative teams of the church nominates one of their members to serve. So that's a human resource team, the stewardship team, buildings and grounds. Each of those selects among themselves one to serve on that, as well as the deacons. And then there's one member at large and the church moderator. I'm going to ask those members to stand as I call their name. Representing the deacons on that team is Michael Allred. Behind everybody in the back. Elected by you, the congregation, and as nominated by the deacons, is the member at large who's coming on for the first time, Angela Griffin. The church moderator, I believe Mike's out of town, but Mike Harrington. Dreema Howard is representing Buildings and Grounds. And Corey Lindsay representing Human Resources. And Sam Pickard, who's also out of town, is representing the stewardship team. And they have, all but Angela, have been commissioned before, but we do think it's important to commission them as representative of the church, that we are saying to them that we want to hold you accountable to something, hold you accountable to a commitment and a promise to serve the church faithfully. So to those members who are here, we, on the behalf of the church, I ask you, are you willing to serve faithfully, honestly, and at the leadership of the Holy Spirit and under no other command but His, as you seek to provide both long-term and short-term vision and leadership to the congregation of First Baptist Elon? If you do, please indicate that by saying, "We do." Amen. Let's have a word of prayer for them as they remain standing. Lord God, we commission these servants, not for our sake, but for yours, that you, through your Holy Spirit, might speak to them and guide them as they seek to guide this congregation. Empower them with wisdom and discernment beyond themselves. Give them energy and strength for the road ahead. Give them thick skin, but not thick hearts. Cause them to be passionate and compassionate, and have eyes that see your way and your path as you lead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. We invite you at this time to stand together as we sing our offertory hymn, "Serve the Lord with Gladness," number 495 in your hymnals, and we'll sing verses 1 and 3. Please stand.
Lord, with gladness in our works and ways. join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you and praise you for your faithfulness to us, your children. We acknowledge you have blessed us way beyond what we deserve. You have been faithful, and we have been less so. But with thankful hearts for your forgiveness, your grace, and blessings, we bring our tithes and offerings to you. We pray that we will wisely use these gifts in support of this body of believers and to reach to others in our community and the world for Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ told his disciples, it is more blessed to give than receive. May these blessings of our gifts include blessings that continue to lead others to Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen.
As we come to this act of ordination, we acknowledge that the meaning of the word deacon is servant. Literally, it means through the dust. It represents that animated energy of a servant busting through the kitchen door in a hurry, kicking up dust as he or she goes to serve the master and his guests. We know that in the church, the Lord is the master, and we are indeed his guests here in this place. As we come to this time of ordination, we are thankful for Chip Ferguson and Suzanne Roof and their willingness to commit to this ministry of service, to really care for the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the people of this congregation, to be spiritual examples and leaders as they go forward to take care of us and to be faithful to the Lord. The symbol of the ministry of deacon is that of a towel. And we always take a piece of a towel from our own kitchen because it is a place of great service and sacrifice of hard work and sweat. And it reminds them that they are the waiters, the ones to wait on the people of the congregation. And so we want to present them with these symbols to hold as they continue through this process of ordination so they can meditate on that calling to be the waiters of the congregation. There are two charges here for us to consider, one to the deacons and one to the church. The response, if willing, is we do. So first, the charge to the new deacons. Chip, Suzanne, do you promise to strive to live your life that you may honor Christ? And do you promise in the presence of God and this body of believers to accept the responsibilities of deacon in this church, and to the best of your abilities, to put your faith to work as servants of Jesus Christ? And to the congregation, do you, the members of First Baptist Church, acknowledge Chip Ferguson and Suzanne Roof as deacons of this church? Do you promise to encourage and pray for them in their ministry and to cooperate with them in the fulfillment of the mission of this church. If you do, will you indicate by rising and saying, "We do." You may be seated. At this time, we want to invite all who are ordained deacons, whether you are ordained in this congregation or another, all ordained ministers, to come forward and to gather around Chip and Suzanne and to lay a hand on them as we prepare for the ordination prayer. So again, if you are an ordained deacon or minister, please come and gather around them. And if you would, reach across between the two as well. Almighty and everlasting God, you are the one who is creator, who created light and life and all things in this universe. And in your creativity, you also said, "Let there be deacons. Let there be those who are called forth to serve the needs of the people, to wait on us and care for us, to love us and nurture us, to challenge us and inspire us, to hold us accountable to our own calling, to be servants as well. For we are all ordained in our baptism to be ministers and missionaries in this world. We pray for Chip. We pray for Suzanne, that you might send your spirit to fill them and strengthen them for the work to which you have called them. Empower them in the fullness of this gospel ministry to be deacons here at this church and in this community of Elon. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Can you return to your seats? When you look in our bulletin, under ministers, it says all the people. We as Baptists affirm the priesthood of all believers and deeply believe that you are all called in your baptism to be members and ministers of this church. And so what we want to invite you as the congregation to do is, David will lead you pew by pew to come forward and to just offer a word of prayer, a word of encouragement for Suzanne and Chip. You don't have to have a quiet time with them or a sermon with them, but just a word of encouragement, a word of prayer to let them know of your support and that you stand with them in the ministry of this church. So as the organ plays and as David directs you, would you come? The book of Ecclesiastes has two of the most iconic lines and passages in the Old Testament that are well known to us. One of those being one we heard not too long ago, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." The second one is found in our verses for today in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning actually with verse 9. These are the words of Koheleth, the wise teacher, who seeks to help us understand the basics of human wisdom and what it means to be truly human. As we look at verse 9 of chapter 4, he writes, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to the one who is alone and falls, and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." This is at the heart and soul of what we call in the Boy Scouts of America, the buddy system. You never go anywhere without your buddy. You can't go on a walk, you can't go on a hike, don't go swimming, don't go canoeing, don't go exploring, don't go anywhere without a buddy, because how can someone help you up if you are all alone? As I read these words and think about people working together in the face of great obstacles, I remember when I was a young teenager in the Boy Scouts and coming across one of the most horrific tragedies, one of the most gruesome scenes in Whiteville, North Carolina's history. 18 cars wrecked. A church van and a school bus wrecked. Some of them on fire. Doors here, mufflers there, and strewn all about in one big giant field were bodies, people moaning, people crying, people with open chest wounds, people with bones poking out of their skin, people with eyes hanging out, people with open head wounds, screaming in pain. And there converging on the scene, there was the fire department, who were putting out fires and checking the safety of vehicles. There was the police department, which was keeping a perimeter and keeping the general public from wandering into the scene of the accident. There were the Boy Scout troop, my troop, were there pulling debris off of some of the vehicles, had trees laid across them. Some had parts that needed to be moved out of the way so that vehicles could get closer. There was the rescue squad patching people up and hauling them off to the hospital. Of course, the whole thing was fake. It was staged. It was a training exercise. No one was really hurt, except for maybe the vehicles. But it was an exercise in working together. In my hometown of Whiteville, this one boy who was working on his Eagle Scout project had this idea to create a scenario, a mock simulated catastrophe, to see how well the community and all of those separate individual parts who have their own individual agendas and responsibilities, could they come together in the face of an extreme tragedy and work together? And what an embodiment of this idea of two are better than one. It was amazing to see how well everything came together, and that spirit continued as for several years, all throughout my high school years, every year they continued to have this mock catastrophe. Of course, every year there was those who didn't get the memo and would call and say, "What's going on?" And one year a news agency even showed up because they heard reports of a catastrophe in little old 2,000 people Whiteville, North Carolina, just down the road from where I actually lived, Hogwaller, North Carolina. But we were proud to see how well we could come together. In fact, you saw that same spirit recently when Hurricane Matthew flooded downtown Whiteville, how all of those agencies were able to so easily come together and work together and help each other out, and to see shopkeepers and citizens, town folk, hauling damaged merchandise out of people's businesses, patching up windows. I was amazed to see as my father-in-law had an extra generator. He loaned it to the business next door, who in turn used it to provide lunch for everybody downtown who was working together. You see that kind of togetherness in small towns and small communities and in small churches like our own. We have seen it through the years when there have been projects or opportunities, when there have been crises or mission opportunities, where people from all in their own individual Sunday school classes and ministry teams, they come together as one. You see, you don't need theological interpretation for those verses, do you? You don't need some exegetical interpretation to understand the basic common sense principle that things are better when we work together. The deacon ministry is about that, isn't it? It's about working together to meet the needs of the people. It's about coming together to overcome tragedy, obstacle, whether that be tragedy in an individual person's life or tragedy in the community life. But today, I don't want to preach a word about what it means to be a deacon. We hear and have heard so many sermons about the role of the deacon and the responsibilities of the deacon. But today, as we consider these words, two are better than one, I want to reverse the flow of thought and get you to think not about what deacons are supposed to do for us, how they are supposed to serve our needs and meet our demands and do what we need them to do, but reverse your thought and ask yourself, what can you do for your deacon? What can you do for your deacon? We have this thing called the deacon family list, where every deacon in the church has a list of names of people, families, and individuals that they are responsible for. If you don't know who your deacon is, pretty soon in September this month, we'll have our deacon breakfast where you'll get a chance to meet again your deacon face to face. But so often that's a one-sided relationship where we expect things from our deacons. And in fact, we even demand certain things from our deacons. But again, what if we reverse that thought and asked ourselves, what could we do to support that person, to encourage that person? Most of what deacons hear is the bad stuff, the negative, the complaints, or why didn't you, or why shouldn't you have? But what if we could fill them up with encouraging words? What if we could cause their cup to overflow with support and help and praise? What if every now and then we picked up the phone and called our deacon and said, would you like for me to go with you to visit so-and-so, whoever is in the hospital or shut in or in the nursing home or home alone? What if we asked our deacon how they are doing? What do they need? What can we help them with? What can we pray for you about today, deacon? For it is indeed a two-way street in the church, that just as we might fall and need someone to help us up, our deacons are just as capable of falling and needing someone to help them, someone to lift them up, someone to strengthen them. I love this line as this idea plays itself out in the mind of the great teacher of Ecclesiastes. He says that although one might prevail against another, two will withstand one, and the threefold cord is not quickly broken. The one that our deacons face every day will be the one we call the enemy. The one who seeks to tell them, you're not good enough for this position. You're not qualified to be doing this. The one that tells them, you know, the naysayers are right. The one who tells them that you should take it easy today. You don't need to go see her this week. The one that tells them that they are simply unqualified is the enemy. And against them, he can prevail. But two are better than one. What if the deacon had standing with them a prayer warrior and an encourager, a supporter, a fellow warrior for the ministry of the gospel, who says in the words of the old Nazarene prayer, I'm going to fight the devil to the day I die as long as I have a tooth in my mouth, and then when all my teeth are gone, I'll gum him. Two are better than one. Friends, I would encourage you to find out who your deacon is, to send them that call or that letter or that card and offer them that word of support and ask them, what can I do for you? How can I stand with you in this gospel ministry in the role of deacon? Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, We pray for our deacons today because we know that it is a hard ministry. It is fulfilling and full of joyous moments, but it can take its toll, and it can have its hard times. And so we pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see how we might be encouragers and supporters, how we might be fellow workers of the ministry. Open our eyes to see the needs around us. Help us to be better at telling our deacons about what's going on in the lives of others. Help us to be better about calling and letting them know when others are sick or hurting or need a word of comfort. Help us to be willing to be with them the hands and the feet of Jesus the Christ, the presence of Christ in the world around us, so that your kingdom might be built, so that your kingdom might grow, so that we might be kingdom builders working together side by side. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to respond to God's word this morning as we sing such a fitting song for a day like this, the Servant Song, number 613. If you're able, would you please stand? Would you receive this blessing as we go? Lord, the song is in our heart. We are called to be servants to one another. May we go out and carry indeed the Christ-like for one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.